Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 7 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Before we start in announcements this evening, I want to mention something before Summer does. I have a mood candle.
I don't know what kind of mood she's trying to set with my pumpkin spice candle.
It's autumn. We've already been through this. It's autumn. We both love autumn. I love pumpkins. We both love pumpkin spice. And it just smells so good and we don't use it enough. So I thought, why not now as we record, bring out the pumpkin candle.
I wish y'all could see me rolling my eyes right now.
No.
But she's smelling it, you guys.
I have to take a hit so it smells
good. A hit? Yes. What is this, your drug?
Don't make me laugh. I'll blow the candle out. It smells very good.
Apparently, this is Ginger's drug of choice.
Not pumpkin, but smells are my thing. Good smells.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. As for announcements this week, we have, it was actually kind of busy this week, more so towards the latter end of the week, but it's all been, you know, the lead up to the Comic-Con, and they started filming this week.
That's true.
Which led to a lot of things. For instance, the beginning, I don't even know if it was there the whole time, but the birth, if you will, of the Instagram account for Outlander Stars, where they've been actually posting pictures of set, which we always link over to from our site. If I catch them, I try to get them up there right away because we want you guys to be able to see them as quickly as we do. And I know that not everyone has the time during the day to babysit that Instagram site, but I'm on it.
She's on it. So we had the unveiling or creation, whichever it was, of the Outlander Stars Instagram account, which is really great. And we also had, they did begin filming this week. And also, we don't have the tweet up right now, but was it Graham who tweeted and said, made mention of Katrina and Tobias Menzies working really well together? I thought I read that.
I read it somewhere. I don't remember if it might have been Graham, but I think we talked about this earlier this week, you know, because it didn't seem like anyone else was filming. They were talking about Claire being busy this week. And if you look at all of the chairs laid out, in the set picture they put, the only character you see is Claire's. All of the rest of them have, like, you know, director, blah, 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 blah. But hers actually just says Claire on it. And Ginger was like, well, what does she do by herself? You know, what could she be filming? I was like, she does a lot of stuff by herself, but I bet they're filming.
She does a lot of wandering around and getting into trouble, which, Claire, my dear, is how you got into the whole mess in the first place.
But she actually does do a lot of things on her own. Plus, there's also, they wasn't mentioned initially, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the 1940s that happens before she actually goes through the stones. There's a whole two chapters.
Yes. And so definitely there was that excitement. And then I guess the culmination, the fandom is still kind of coming down from, is the New York Comic-Con event. Or events.
Good Lord, I wanted to be there so bad.
It would have been lovely. And I think the majority of fans would probably agree that short of being there, it was kind of fun to watch the Outlander Stars Twitter account.
For sure. And I just want to give a giant kudos out to the Outlander Stars account for helping us all feel like we were actually there.
Yes. And before we go too much further, they did a few, I guess it was Friday night, last evening, that when they took a few of the previously submitted fan questions.
Yeah, it was like a week ago they put out a tweet asking for questions we might have for Diana and Ron Moore at the panel. And we actually posted a question.
Not knowing. I mean, who knows? They got probably, I didn't count. I mean, they got a lot of questions.
I'm sure they had a ton of questions because we know there's a lot of fans out there. But I was delighted to see that ours was one of the first few questions.
It was question.
Was it question two?
Question number two. And I will admit to a slight, I do try to keep a good head about me, a clear head about me. I freaked out and I may have used all caps.
Well, what was funny about it for me was that I saw the question come across the feed and I was like, oh my gosh, that's our question. And I immediately texted Ginger and I was like, oh my God, they just asked our question. And she was like, quick, tell me what question so that I can post it.
And we both looked back. I quickly opened another browser window and looked back to see where it was, when it was. And then I found it and then Summer texted me and confirmed. So we had found it and I just wanted to make sure that we weren't going to claim something that wasn't ours. But we found it and it was kind of cool. And so, yes, I use all caps on Twitter and on Facebook.
We really felt like we were a part of it since they asked our question.
Thank you very much for doing that. That was kind of cool. So in general, New York Comic Con, not the event, but the experience for an Outlander fan would have been Friday night and Saturday afternoon, correct?
Correct.
I think those were the right times because we're here on the West Coast. We may be a little wacky with times, but for Friday night, they had the panel.
Correct. But I just want to give a shout out real quick to all the Outlander fans who did show up because there was a really good turnout. It looked, from all the pictures that were posted up, it was so great to be so well represented.
It looked so exciting. We are so happy that you guys got to go. And it was really nice. Like I said, the combination of seeing your pictures, reading your tweets, and reading your Facebook posts, it really was, short of being there, it really was like we were there. So it was really a lot of fun.
And they also took some live questions from the audience. And was it a live question, the person who asked, will we fall in love with Jamie?
I think it was a question from the audience, I think.
Because I think I responded with, duh.
Well, let's be kind. A lot of people still have, maybe, their own images of Jamie in their mind.
Mine has definitely shifted. I mean, I think that I'm just really close to Sam in the first place, but it's definitely come full circle to be fully embodied by Sam Heughan.
And what was exciting, at least that we saw on a number of Facebook sites, was a still that had been captured from the video reel, whatever they showed.
The behind the scenes thing they showed before.
And it sounded really exciting. Yeah. Like, I believe a scam. Sam had spoken a little Gaelic.
That's what it sounded like.
And of course, Katrina was there. But yes, we got to see Sam and Katrina together.
And Sam with a giant hat on his head. He had hiding his hair. I think that should be our next watch.
The red hair watch.
Jamie's hair watch.
Jamie's hair watch.
Doesn't flow like Claire watch, but.
No, it does not.
Oh, no, we'll call it hair watch.
There we go. You heard it first.
Hair watch.
Hair watch. Hashtag hair watch.
I'm going to go put that on Twitter when we're done with this.
Yes. Okay. So, Summer, that was Friday. What happened on Saturday?
Saturday, it was like a...
Oh, a lunch?
A luncheon, kind of, but and not really a panel, but it was still Diana and Ron kind of seated on what looked like a stage. Mm-hmm. And it looked like they took more questions from fans, probably, I don't know if they were alive or not.
I think they took them from them there.
From the people there. Still exciting. I wish I could have been there.
We will be able to do something someday.
Well, I just hope that we get some West Coast goodies coming soon.
If by goodie you mean them being here, absolutely. It will be, I can't wait for a West Coast
anything
event or anything.
West Coast anything. I mean, heck, if they have a layover in San Francisco, I'd be happy to go and them. Like hang out.
That would be like the hangover, but hangover.
Hangover.
Layover. The layover hangout. The hangover. Why not? It's a hangover. Let's have a hangover. There we go. So it's hair watch and hangover. Yeah. One of those doesn't belong.
Goodness. So on to the read-along. This week we did chapters 3 and 4 of the book.
Of Outlander,
whatever.
And as we, I wouldn't really say a hint because it's not a hint. If you're reading it, it's not even really a teaser because we're not saying anything that people probably don't already know. But chapter 3 is where the shizzle hits the fan or things really get started. Claire, actually in chapter, end of chapter 2. But chapter 3 is where we see the effects of what has happened at the end of chapter 2. And that is Claire has gone through the stones.
Yes. Well, Claire has gone through the stones at the end of chapter two, but
that's what I said.
But yeah, we really begin to understand the ramifications of her traveling through the stones with the start of chapter three.
And but before we go too much into what all of those are, well, a few of them are, what we see in chapter three is we see a number of times in the chapter, she understandably is thinking about Frank. She says, or she thinks, her first person narrative has her thinking about him, worrying about him, how he's out. He's like, surely he's looking for me by now, that kind of thing. And then she, we'll get on to the other chapter in a little bit. She breaks down at one point. But just the reading about Frank, that's one thing actually that we did learn from Comic-Con, from what the information they gave us, is that there will be two things. Number one, Jamie's in episode one.
Good.
Number two, they're going to be doing a lot of
flashbacks.
Oh my goodness.
Flashbacks.
They'll be doing a lot of flashbacks. So there'll be a lot of work with Katrina and Tobias with their characters in the past, because
they want us to care about Frank.
As Diana said, if you're with the book, language lends itself well to explain their relationship to it as much as it can. But in the film medium, you cannot rely on words. You have to rely on images solely. Dialogue is important too, but when something is developed so quickly, or something happens, if they're determined to get to Jamie in chapter one, which I think is awesome, excuse me, episode one, which is awesome, you cannot exclude Frank.
Though, but technically they could get to Jamie in episode one by showing him as the ghost.
That's true. Which they probably, I hope they show them. I mean, the ghost is kind of,
to be honest, important. The best way to end episode one is her falling through those stones.
Or at least hearing some kind of racket and wondering what the heck was going on. But I don't disagree. But since we know that episode one has, we don't know how it ends, but has Jamie in it, it's safe to say there's not going to be a lot of time spent, my guess, between Claire and Frank.
Not if they're going to show it in flashback along the way, which actually makes a lot more sense.
Which is kind of cool. That way, number one, the reader, it may be I'm glad we know this, but it might be a little bit of a jolt for the reader who's read this numerous times. But for someone who has never read and is coming to the series fresh, which honestly I think is going to be a lot of people will have not read, but will watch it on TV. I believe you need to get that hook in there as soon as you can. And number one, expectant fans want their Jamie, number one. But number two, with the flashback, it's so much more, I think, it's just so much more fitting to the medium of film.
And it's something that's being used quite widely now.
Yes.
I remember there was a time, I mean, they've been doing flashbacks forever. I'm not going to say anybody invented it. But then when Lost came out, the TV show Lost, they really started using flashbacks like in every episode. It was like part of the structure of the show.
It was a huge part of the show. Everyone's story was told in flashbacks. Everyone's. Correct. With no exception. So,
but a lot of stories do it, and a lot of shows do that now. Like, I know Once Upon a Time does a lot of stuff in flashback. Pretty much any show you go to now has a significant amount of flashbackery going on.
It's definitely used a lot. So while it wasn't, maybe it wasn't unexpected, it wasn't really, at least personally, it wasn't on my radar. I actually wondered how they were going to get to Jamie, if they were going to get to Jamie in episode one. And if so, how would they do that if they spent hardly any time developing Frank and Claire's relationship? But what drives the story for a good part of the book is you must believe that Claire is truly wanting, that she loves Frank desperately. For a long time in the book, we can say this, I think, because she said it in chapters 3 and 4, she is trying to get back to the stones. She is trying to get back to Frank. And if the whole series starts out with her falling through stones and meeting new people, and there's this person she's remembering that you haven't really met or had enough character development for, you're not going to believe it.
Right.
You're not going to believe it.
That makes sense. Okay, so as a side note, I mentioned previously that my first exposure to the Outlander series was reading book 4.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of give you an idea of how reading book 1 for me was the first time. Mm. And that was a total cluster of confusion. Because if you start with the fourth book, you're introduced to Jamie Frazier.
Uh-huh.
With Frazier as his name. And in that book, he's significantly older. Because he's, like, what, 20, 30 years has gone by?
I don't know.
A significant amount of time. So when I go back and I'm reading this book, I spent the first like third of the book going, when are they going to introduce us to Jamie? When are they going to introduce us to Jamie? When am I going to meet him? Because they kept calling this dude young Jamie. And then later they introduce him with a different last name. So I'm like, where the freak is Jamie Fraser? I'm waiting to meet him. And there's just this young kid who she's hanging out with. And I'm like, he's taking her away from the time she could be spending with James Fraser. So I was very confused when I read this book the first time. So, but having, you know, gone through it, I think after I finished, once I figured out, I should say, who Jamie Fraser was in the course of this first book, then I was able to go back and like enjoy it again, because I was incredibly confused and I was very impatient for them to introduce his character because I couldn't find him.
That's funny. That's I had a very good experience with reading Outlander for the first time. As we've said in a previous podcast, it was on my shelf for probably at least a few years before I read it, and Summer brought my attention to it. But also in chapter 3, we're introduced to a number of characters. The first one, I think, was Black Jack Randall.
This is true.
Or as I like to write, BJR. Summer's shaking her.
Look, I don't care if you write it like that, but don't say it.
But it's so much, I don't know why it's easier, but okay, Randall, Jack Randall. I don't like Jack Randall. Black Jack?
Just call him Black Jack.
Fine.
Well, fine.
That makes me...
Did you just go Scottish? Fine. No,
that makes me want to say BJ.
Don't.
Black Jack. Okay, I'll just say Jack. Oh, gosh. Black Jack. Okay, Black Jack. So she meets Black Jack. She meets...
Murta.
She meets Dougal and Rupert and Jamie. And I noticed a number of times... And I know it's not funny. It's not meant for a humor device, I don't think. But I noticed that, actually, Claire says it a few times. And again, in her internal dialogue. But I noticed the amount of times Claire was knocked down. Claire was knocked down or...
Dropped off or
shoved or landed on top of. I mean, I almost laughed. Like, the third time something happened, I was like, oh, wow. She really does get moved around a lot in this... in this chapter in the beginning. Other things that I found comical that, again, upon reread, things stick out to you. And I had, as I said, I just had done a reread earlier this summer. And so this is like a second reread in a few months. And so it's a little fresher than it was this summer. But I hope they keep this scene because this made me laugh when I'm reading it. When they're in the little crofter's cottage or some little cottage and she's kind of slinking back into the shadows because their attention is on Jamie and his wounds. And they're about to, Rupert is like, about to totally, brutally, savagely put his shoulder joint back in, his humerus back into his shoulder joint by brute force if necessary. And she's like, oh no, you don't. And she steps forward and these people look at her and she, long story short, she says something like, don't hurt him or let me help or something like that. I'm a nurse. And the people... Now, I don't think Diana said they looked at her chest, but they looked at her and her state of dress and part of her shift. She said she could see part of her bosom because of the cut in her shirt. And then they asked her, Dougal calmly said, it doesn't really matter if you're a wet nurse. You still, and then the conversation went on, but I thought, that just made me laugh. I hope they keep that because that's, I'm sorry, it made me laugh.
I love her potty mouth.
Oh, gosh.
I love her potty mouth and all of the guys, like, outrage at, like, the stuff coming out of her mouth, which is just hilarious to me.
She definitely takes over. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't because she was trying to take over. It was her nurse's training came
up. Well, and that's the thing. I won't say it's her downfall, but that's kind of the one thing that always gets her into trouble in the course of the books is that she can't not help somebody who's hurt. Mm-hmm. And while she may have been able to sneak away while they were all focused on fixing his arm, she could not leave knowing they were going to damage him further. So, I mean, it's another, I don't know if it's a character flaw or just a...
I wouldn't say it's a flaw, but even some of your best qualities can not always serve you well, and depending on the situation.
Well, agreed. And I think that in the long run, it served her just fine. But in the short term, for her current goal, it did not serve her.
And so that's pretty much what chapter three was. Her coming through, her meeting Blackjack,
well, her being taken. Yeah, and then she also inadvertently stopped
an ambush?
An ambush.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to pronounce the name of the rock because no matter how I say it, it sounds wrong.
Oh, I'm... Cognamen?
Yeah.
Cognamen. We'll go with that. So she kind of just said...
We'll just say it's the one shaped like a rooster's tail.
She said it was almost...
She kind of
almost,
offhand, just kind
exactly,
of...
Exactly. Conversationally. Oh, isn't this the place where...
The English likes to ambush people?
And she basically probably ended up saving some lives by just... By her banter. And then...
She's unceremoniously, I believe, dropped into a bush and left in the dark.
Again, a time where she's dropped or pounced upon or knocked unconscious. The chapter three... Knowing what we know, it's not her roughest chapter ever. But this is a rough chapter for her.
Well, I mean, not only rough physically, but mentally.
Yes.
This is taxing.
It is taxing.
But I do love that her first thought when she hears and sees the people running around in kilts and fighting is that, oh, they must be filming a movie.
Which is awesome because, hello.
I know.
What's happening right now in the hills of Scotland? Oh, Lord, I just thought, what if someone...
Tries to go through the stones.
Not tries to go through the stones, but what if someone's up like hill walking, or what if someone's up there hiking and then stumbles upon the set and well, they'll see the cameras, so I guess that wouldn't happen. But that just made me laugh. So that kind of was chapter three. In chapter four, you could summarize it by saying their arrival at Leoc.
Yes. Well, the whole thing is, I believe, called "I Come to a Castle" or something like that.
Yeah. And whom do we meet here?
Mrs. Fitz.
Mrs. Fitz! And I wrote something down. I didn't know. I never knew this, or I never noticed it before, that she was missing some teeth. I didn't know that.
I saw that again here, too.
You did?
And I don't know that I never noticed that before.
I never noticed it, too, either. I wonder if they're going to black out some of Mrs. Fitz's teeth.
We should take bets on which teeth are going to be missing.
Oh, probably one of the incisors.
Maybe. Obviously, it's going to be a visible one.
When she smiles, yeah.
So
we met Mrs. Fitz. That was kind of cool. And they get to Leoc, and this is, I believe, the first time we see Jamie open up to Claire. Well, this is the first opportunity.
This is the first time that, I mean, they were alone while they were horseback riding together, but this is really the first time they've been, like, alone.
Yeah.
And I honestly am surprised... The amount of opening up to her that he does, because those are some really personal experiences that happened.
To someone that you've just met,
yeah.
Maybe an English spy, whom you don't know the details of what she was doing with Randall. You just don't know. Yeah, he definitely opened up a lot, and he talked about his she was doctoring him. She was.
That's all she does to him in the first, like, two chapters.
She was tending him, and his shirt either came down or she took it down, but she saw his back, of course, crisscross of silvery scars. And, of course, he then told her about how he was flogged and how he... And what happened? The events that led up to that.
I think that initially... She started asking him about his back, not only because it was so horrific, and how can you not ask about it if you're faced with something like that, but because she was trying to get his mind off of the damage she was doing to him, if you will, the pain of her cleaning out the stab wound from the bayonet that he had incurred.
He had totally lied about.
Well, I don't know if he lied about it. He just didn't mention it.
No, she said she kind of freaked out when she saw him, and he's like, oh, no, it's not my blood.
He said most of it anyway.
Most of it. Yeah, well, apparently he was bleeding, and he was... You're a little bit of a liar, Jamie. We understand.
No, he's just a badass, but I don't think I'm going to say that.
Well, you just did, so.
Okay.
He is that, too. He opened up a lot and talked about... We don't meet Jenny yet, but we hear about Jenny for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, oh, and I almost wanted to finish the word for him when he... I noticed how he stopped himself when he was about to say... the name of his home.
Right. Because he doesn't know who she
is. All you get is the L. Ooh.
Well, of course he stopped himself. He's there in hiding.
Yeah, he's in hiding still.
He's not using his own name. We don't know this yet, but he's not using his own name.
And she may be a spy.
And he, you know, and he's...
They just don't know.
Right.
So, English or French spy, they don't know.
He's obviously still hiding from Randall and from all of the English. So, yeah, he's very, very careful to not give away any really... Identifying
information. And what was the culmination of all of that? So he shared so much, and she did. They conversed. She asked him some questions, but I think it was quite obvious, not only the violence and the just everything that had happened, but the fact that she was, and they ate together, I think in silence. They ate, they had bread and broth.
What I liked about this scene is how they really exchanged positions in the scene, the power position in the scene, where it starts off with her basically telling him what to do and taking care of him. When she finishes tending his wounds, he begins to tend her. And he begins to take care of her and make sure that she gets what she needs, you know, telling her she needs to rest and telling her she needs to eat and comforting her when she becomes overwhelmed with her situation.
And I'm glad you say that, because I was just going to say that they broke bread together, and definitely their roles did change slightly there. But it was everything that had happened, the violence, the fear, everything that had happened to her, at on top of not getting any sleep.
Right.
Anything is made worse by not having sleep. I unfortunately have a lot of experience with being a little sleep deprived over, you know, weeks and weeks, and or at least days and days, because I can sometimes catch up on the weekends. But that will make, at least it makes me emotional. I mean, gosh, and I haven't traveled 200 years and been almost killed and been thrown on and jumped on and. So she's allowed tears. She's allowed that break. She kind of broke down.
She did break down.
And she broke down, and he gathered her up, right? He whispered. He held her in his lap. He brought her to his lap just so she could have a place to cry it out. He comforted her.
Right.
And without... We end up finding out later on that he's in hiding, but he doesn't, just like he doesn't give the name of his home, she also doesn't give her real name, and she doesn't give her husband's name. This is another hint of her relationship with Frank. She's out of her time, out of her place, out of her marriage. And so she is definitely, and she has not slept. She kind of breaks down and is comforted by Jamie, and it comes out. She allows it to be believed that she is a widow.
Right.
Now, technically, if you traveled 200 years and your husband ain't born yet, I mean, in your life experience, you're married. But technically, he's not even around.
No.
So, whatever. It wasn't... I mean, I guess it was kind of a lie, but not really a lie. But, yeah. So, they have both covered themselves a little bit.
Correct. Protected themselves.
Protected themselves.
It did lead to one of the funnier lines in the chapter when...
Oh, the horse.
Right? Yes. When he's... That. So he's comforting her. She's sitting in his lap, and she's got her head on his shoulder, and he's like stroking her back and, like, I guess muttering to her in soft Gaelic, and basically to her, which is just nonsense words and soothing, incomprehensible speech, it says. And then she states, "If I were a horse, I'd let him ride me anywhere."
And that, yeah, that has gone around... I've read that. I mean, I've read the book, but I've also read people's thoughts on that. And yeah,
so
I think a lot of fans would concur.
But I do like how he immediately basically takes responsibility for her in a way.
Doesn't he say that as long as I'm here, you won't be...
Yeah, as long as I'm with you, you don't have to be...
Afraid?
Afraid, basically.
That's our man. That's our Jamie. And the chapter ends with her finding a bed.
Right.
And finally sleeping.
So next week we're going to be reading chapters 5 and 6. And that kind of straddles the end of part 1 leading into the beginning of part 2. So we have one chapter ending part 1 and the first chapter of part 2, which is titled Castle Leoc is part 2.
Before we go, the reason I laughed, well, it may be evident, but it just reminded me a little bit of the end of chapter 4 when, yes, she's tired and she wants to go to her bed, but... embarrassingly obvious that Jamie was not unaffected by their closeness. We know what that means, and apparently he wasn't embarrassed at all. So all I'm saying is, besides their talk and besides his caressing her, yes, but in a kind of a friendly, kind of calming way, besides his calming her and comforting her, that's the C word I was looking for. Besides that,
I can think of some other C words right now.
No, besides that, we see the beginning of an attraction.
Yes. So as I was saying, next week we will be covering chapters 5 and 6. So please join us. I think that wraps up episode 7 of the Outlander podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/Outlander Pod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Pod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.